The very first thing that you must do in following Jesus is spend time with Jesus. You have to connect to Jesus. And connection requires communication. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me." So we've been in this teaching series on how you and I can get better at hearing the voice of our rabbi. It is so important that we begin listening to the voice of Jesus in the midst of the daily things we find ourselves doing. I was influenced by another minister on this. I shared this morning, but it's something I try to practice whenever I'm eating out at a restaurant. I will ask my server what their name is. And I'll ask them if there's anything that we can pray for them about when they bring us our meal. And what's been so awesome to see is how many times that this has become a God moment for the server. My wife and I have had people share incredibly hard stories and break down in tears with us as they shared. We've had the servers literally ask if they could sit down, hold our hands, and pray with us while we prayed for their concerns over them. And all of that comes about from just listening to the voice of Jesus in our lives. It is normal. It is normal for a follower of Jesus like you to be able to recognize the voice of your Savior if you are a believer. You know how I know that? Because you're a Christian. And here's what I mean. Your salvation proves you can hear God. Your capacity to hear God begins with God. He called you first. And in his grace, he gave you the capacity to hear his call on your life. None of us would have become Christians apart from the revelatory work of the Holy Spirit who planted his truth in our hearts. And here's what I'm saying. You don't convert and then begin hearing God. You hear God and then you begin to convert. It begins with hearing. That's why James says in James 1, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So if you are born again, it is evidence you heard God. And what you did once, you can do again and again and again. And that is the entire purpose of this series, to equip you and me at improving our hearing. But we have to acknowledge it is possible for a Christian to experience significant hearing loss. And when this happens, the problem is not with the transmission. The problem is always with the reception. Maybe you've been watching a reality TV show and you're on the final episode, or you're watching the big game and it's the last 2 minutes and there's a thunderstorm and the power goes out. Or maybe you've been driving along and you're having a really important conversation and you're in your car and they say to you, "So here's what I really want you to know," and the phone call drops. The transmission is actually still going on, but interference has kept you from receiving the words that you need. You have an enemy, and your enemy is going to do anything he can to keep you from hearing God. And so He will do all that he can to create interference so that the transmission is disrupted. And so after saying that the very fact that we are saved is evidence that we could hear God, James, the brother of Jesus, follows with advice on how to avoid potential interference in future communication. In other words, James says, now that you have heard God, there's some things that you can do to hear better. So look with me, James 1, we're going to start in verse 19. This is what it says, read from your own Bible. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forget what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So what James is saying, you're a believer, you're a follower of Jesus, you experienced new birth because God planted truth in your heart. Do you want to keep receiving that truth? Do you want to keep hearing from God? And James is reminding us what we need to do. So here are the things that can actually improve our hearing. The first, write it down. You need to yearn to learn. I heard about a family having a family reunion, talking about the importance of marriage counseling. And an older couple said, we never went to marriage counseling. We never needed it. She was a communication major in college, and I was a theater art major. Somebody said, well, what does that got to do with anything? He said, well, she's really good at talking, and I'm really good at acting like I'm listening. Do you know people like that? They're listening, but not really listening. Because they don't think they really need to listen. Do you like people like that? Do you like to communicate to know-it-alls? Don't elbow anybody. Comedian Dave Barry says, I argue very well. Ask any of my friends. I can win an argument on any topic against any opponent. And people know this and they steer clear of me at parties. Often, as a sign of their great respect, they don't even invite me to their parties. You think? Humble listening is a critical part of discipleship. Look at the phrases that James chose to use in that text that we read. He said, guided by the Spirit. He said, be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. Humbly accept the word planted in your heart. These are all traits of somebody who has a teachable spirit. When you have a proud spirit, you are pouring poison onto the soil where God wants to plant the seed of his word. And what a proud spirit does is it creates interference between God's transmission and your reception. I was 23 years old when I started preaching. I remember a couple that left the church in Putnam as a young guy. And I went to see them and they said this to me, literally, we just don't believe we're ever going to gain any benefit from someone your age trying to teach us. You ever had those conversations where after you leave, you thought, man, I should have said that? Because what I wish I had said was, it is not my job to tell you what you don't know. It is my job to remind you of what you do know and ask you what you're going to be doing about it. You see, if you yearn to learn, then you will let God plant his word in your heart using whatever vessel he chooses to use. And that's how Jesus lived. There was a very well-known painter in Germany in the 1800s named Heinrich Hofmann. Most of his paintings were actually of the life of Jesus at different periods. In fact, four of his best-known works are actually the property of a church in New York City called Riverside Church, including this particular painting. It's called Christ at the Temple. And you remember the story, Joseph and Mary, they have gone to Jerusalem for a festival. They leave, but Jesus ain't with them. Jesus stays back. So they, after they realize it, turn back around and come back. And they find him in the temple. And it says that everyone was amazed at his wisdom. And this picture, I think, kind of illustrates how most people actually see that story or think about that story. All these wise men around Jesus being kind of just confounded by his wisdom as a young Jesus lecturing them. It's a beautiful painting, but it actually misses the text and what it actually says. See, Luke chapter 2, verse 46 from that story says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. In the first century, they knew Jesus was a man. They had trouble actually believing he was God. In our century, we know Jesus is God. We have trouble letting him be a man. He was a man and he learned. And it says literally he grew. How did he hear God? He grew in stature and in wisdom. It says in Luke 2 that he grew in wisdom. He had a teachable spirit. And if you want to hear from the Father, act like his son. Yearn to learn, because that will improve your hearing. But so will this. Mean to stay clean. And here's what I mean. When sin is unaddressed and unconfessed in our lives, it creates interference with the transmission from God. And I'm not talking about an occasional stumble, because we all sin. I'm talking about, you know, there's something in your life that is completely out of line with God's will for your life, and you're not doing anything about it. You are asking for interference. That's why James said in James 1, verse 21, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now, it's inevitable in translation when you change words from this language to that language. Sometimes you miss the power of the original intent of the translation. So James readers actually would have understood the wordplay that he is using in this text. But he actually is taking a word from the medical field, especially from the field of hearing. That word filth, get rid of all moral filth. That word filth is a derivative of the word for earwax. So the original readers would have heard James' point. You've got to get the stuff out of your life, that sin that is plugging up your ears so that you can't even hear the voice of God. Now, I don't want to shock you with this statement, but I'm going to tell you anyways. Sometimes my wife and I argue. And there was one time we had an argument where I was wrong. The one I remember. And I was in an argument with her, and I was going to be reading my Bible for the morning. And I remember telling her in anger, I'm not going to argue with you right now. I'm going to read my Bible. That sounded really spiritual. And confessionally, just so that full disclosure, the thing that we were actually arguing about at the time was that I wasn't giving her a hand around the house that morning when she needed it. But my statement kind of shut down the argument. And let me just ask you a question. As I opened up my Bible to read the words of God that morning, how much of God's words do you think I was able to actually ingest? I was angry and immature and expecting to hear from my father. Doesn't work that way. You see, that's what sin does. Is it fair to ask God to pour out the seed of his word when you won't take care of the weeds of disobedience? Is it fair to ask God for communication or insight or guidance in an area in my life that's not really clear when I am disobeying God in an area of my life where he is absolutely abundantly clear? Let me share with you from 1 Thessalonians. And by the way, I'm very excited about the book of 1 Thessalonians because that book we're going to be preaching through following Easter. It is our theme for the year. And I'm excited about that series. I want to encourage you to be praying about that series. Pray for me as I'm working on that series. Pray for Easter, by the way. Pray for people that you're going to be bringing to our church for Easter as well. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says this, God's will is for you to be holy. So stay away from all sexual sin. And everyone in the first century church knew what that meant. Sexual sin in the early church was any sexual activity outside of the covenant marriage between one man and one woman. That would be sexual sin. Are you sleeping with people that you're not married to? Are you having an emotional or a physical affair with somebody that is not your mate? Are you looking at pornography and objectifying a daughter of God? Why should you expect God to give you revelation when you're not giving God consecration? The very next chapter, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do you whine and complain a lot? That's not a fruit of the Spirit. Are you a grumbler? That's not a spiritual gift. If you are a negative, cynical person, always choosing to look at the negative and not on the blessings that God abundantly pours out on you, then you are living outside of God's will. And why should you expect God to give you wisdom and insight in an area that's not clear in your life while you are disobeying God in an area he has made abundantly clear to you? See, here's what I'm saying. Do you want to hear God? Then keep your ears clean. Get rid of the sin that's plugging up your ears and creating interference. If you want your hearing to get better, you need to yearn to learn. You need to mean to stay clean. And one more thing, James says this, obey right away. Don't merely listen to the word. Do what it says. Sometimes God speaks to encourage. Sometimes God speaks to enlighten. A lot of times God speaks to prompt us or commission us. When a mother or a father asks their child this question, did you hear what I said? The parent is not asking, did my sound waves not enter your eardrums and get transmitted into the electrical impulses that travel the synapses of your brain? That is not what they're asking. What they're asking is, I know you know what I wanted. Why aren't you doing it? And so when you receive a word from God and you don't respond to it, James says what you are doing is you are deceiving yourself. And we're really good at this. There are two ways that you can know what you look like. A photograph and a mirror. If you got up this morning and you got into your phone and found a really nice photograph of yourself and said, wow, I look good. And you just come to church that way. We'd be in for a heap of trouble. But if you got up, walked into your bathroom, turned on the light and looked in the mirror and said, oh man, have I got a lot of work to do. And then came to church, we'd be better off. You see, a mirror tells you the truth. And James says God's word is like a mirror. So do you want to get better at hearing God? Then get quicker at obeying God. I could give you no better advice than the mother of Jesus. They're at a wedding. They run out of wine. She comes to her boy and says, they're out of wine. Jesus says, woman, it's not my time. And it doesn't say it, but I am positive in the Greek, Mary rolls her eyes. And it says in John 2, verse 5, her mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And I can give you no greater wisdom than that. Do whatever he tells you. Because if you don't, did you really hear? Okay, I'm going to give you a nugget, and I want you to hang on to this because this is cool. Moses is with God. God gives Moses the words that he wants the people to have. So it says in Exodus 24, verse 7, look at this text. It says, then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people, and they responded, we will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey. And I've highlighted that word obey. The reason I highlighted that word obey is because in the Hebrew, that word is shema. That's the word in Hebrew for hear. We will obey. We will hear. And every Orthodox child that was a Jew would begin every single morning of their life reciting the shema. Here's the shema. Hear, O Israel. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. So, Exodus 24, we will do everything he has said. We will obey. We will hear. In fact, it says we will do it and we will hear it. And you say, well, that's kind of backwards, right? You got to hear it and then you got to do it. And the Hebrew would say, no, hearing is more than just acknowledging the reception of the words. Hearing is pledging allegiance to the very words that were spoken, that you didn't do it. If you didn't do it, you can't say that you actually heard it. And if you want to have more revelation, obey the revelation you already have. You ever treat God's word like an auditor? When I was in college, I actually audited a couple of classes. And if you know what that is, it's where you get to sit in on the lecture. You can hear the professor teach. You see what he does, but you don't have to do anything. You don't have to read the books. You don't have to do the homework. You don't have to write the papers. You don't have to cram for the exam. I never profited very much from classes that I audited. I heard, but I did not do. And if that is how you treat the word of the Lord, I can promise you that you are going to experience significant hearing loss. That's why the Hebrew writer says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, not tomorrow, not next week. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Irwin McManus, preacher, tells this story. He's a father of two children, and when his son Aaron was only 5 or 6, he would always ask him the question, Daddy, how do you hear God? How do you know when God speaks? He wasn't really sure, as a dad of a 5-year-old child, how to, in an age-appropriate way, explain to him these deep things this child was asking of him. So when Aaron got to junior high, he signed up and went to church camp first time. So Irwin and one of his buddies went to visit their son, his son, midway through the week. And when they found his son, Aaron, he had his bags packed, sleeping bag rolled up, and he was sitting on some steps by the driveway of the camp when they pulled up. And his son opened the door, threw his stuff in the car, got in and said, I want you to take me home. I don't want to be here anymore. Turns out Aaron, his son, had got into a fight with another boy at camp and he was really upset. And Irwin said, Aaron, are you hearing a voice deep inside right now? Aaron said, yeah. Well, Aaron, what is that voice telling you? Well, Dad, the voice is telling me to work it out. And Irwin said, Aaron, that's God. Aaron, that's God speaking to you right now. But he was taken aback when his middle school aged boy said, well, I don't care what God says, Dad. I don't want to be here. And it was a teachable moment. And Irwin said, Aaron, you know what? You don't have to obey God right now. But if that becomes the pattern of your life, where you actually are hearing God telling you to do something and you don't do it, you're going to lose the ability to hear God. And Aaron got his stuff and got out of the car and he went and he made things right and he stayed the rest of the week at camp. And now Aaron is a dynamic young adult following Jesus. But Irwin speculated, I just wonder what would have happened if my son on that day started a path of hearing God, but not doing what God had asked him to do. He said, I think at best, he would simply maybe be a nominal disciple of Jesus. You see, God speaks to you and me for a reason, to be heard. And now you know what that means, that he speaks that we will obey, that he speaks so that you will respond to what he said. And maybe the best thing that you could do every single morning is start with this prayer from Psalm 40, verse 8. The first part of verse 8 says this, I desire to do your will, my God. When you simply say, God, just tell me, I've already said yes, you're going to hear from God. People who say that regularly will hear from God frequently. Nothing gets rid of interference more than obedience. One more story. 20 years ago, probably no college athlete was maybe any more well-known or even popular as Tim Tebow. He was the quarterback for the University of Florida Gators. He won a couple national championships. He won the Heisman Trophy. And the picture that you are seeing is significant. He had just led the Florida Gators to the national championship, their biggest game of the year. And you see under his eyes, he has written John 3:16. Well, the big thing about that was that all season long, every single game he played, he actually had Philippians 4:13 under his eyes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But right before the big game, the biggest audience they were going to have all year, he felt God kind of impressing upon him to write John 3:16 under his eyes. And he shared that with his teammates, what he felt God was leading him to do. And they all like, no, no, don't do that. You're going to jinx us. Don't change it. And none of them actually even knew what Philippians 4:13 actually said anyways. But Tim Tebow obeyed the word that he felt he was getting from the Lord. And he wrote John 3:16 under his eyes. And they win the big game. And it's really interesting. One of the very first questions he was asked by the media after the game was, why did you change what was written under your eyes? And in the papers, all across America, the next day, people were reading about the game, saw these words, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And what's more than that, Google reported that in the 2 days following that big game, they received over 94 million hits from people typing in the question, what does John 3:16 say? I could give you no better wisdom than this. When you hear God, just do whatever he tells you. And to know what that is, just pray, God, I want to do what you want. So I want to do that right now. I'm going to ask you to stand up. I want you to bow your heads. And I want to start with this simple prayer that I want you to pray. And I just want you to say this quietly where you are. And I want you to say to the Lord, my God, I want to do what you want. And then I want us to just be quiet and hear from him. So just right now, pray those words. My God, I want to do what you want. God, we thank you that you are a God who seeks and pursues. You spoke first, and you gave us the ability to hear. And we want our hearing to get better. And we know that to do that, our obeying needs to get better. So increase our desire to hear and increase our desire to do what we hear. Because that's how Jesus listened. And we pray this in his name. Amen.